We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Cheating has been going on in baseball forever, right? It has always existed in this sport.
Crane wouldn't cop to the word cheat. He said, well, we broke the rules.
When you're caught, I think it's fair to ask the players and the executives act better than you just got caught with your hand in the cookie jar.
Truth be told, there are several Astros executives who were directly implicated in this, even in the very beginnings of it, who are there, who are employed there still under the new GM.
All of them are having the full endorsement of this guy, James Click, who has just shown up on the gig. His assistant GM is going to stick around and stay. But they're all staying there. And each one of these guys had a part in what baseball says was a player-driven scheme, which the Astros felt was so player-driven that they had to fire the players' bosses. It is all so backward.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays on the Score.
We got a Friday for you on Bernstein and McKnight. We got some baseball to talk. We got some Cubs stuff to get into. We discovered a little piece of sound that has gone under the radar that you need to hear. That's coming up in just a second. We're going to revisit some of the conversation we had with Kenny Smith. If you missed that, that was just absolute gold.
So
yesterday.
Good. Some of the most fun I've had in a while.
Yeah, he's really just a delightful yeah. guy. Midday Midway at 10:40. Rick Fox, former NBA player, is going to join us at 11. We will get into more of what's going on with this unfolding Astros faceplant, as it's just been a cascading fall down the stairs for them at every turn. It's current Astros, former Astros, mm-hmm. everybody involved is just not really quite understanding this. And we have three giveaways today.
Three?
Listen, you got to be listening. Three entries into the 2020 Charity Poker Championship.
That's 1, 2, 3.
Three Whoa. Entries. That's not the cue to call quite yet, but I'm going to give you the cue to call. This is a $275 seat that could end up with you going to the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas.
And we got three. That's
a $10,000 seat that you could win. And once you're there at the main event, we have had winners of this tournament. This is an official World Series of Poker play-in, and we've got three opportunities for you to get into this play-in. You have to be listening today for the cue to call. And this benefits Camp One Step for Children's Oncology Services. If you want more info, go to camponestep.org. But these are pretty special, and this is going to be that period of time where we have allotted, every year we earmark a handful of seats, maybe about a table's worth, is going to be just for listeners of the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Awesome. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? You can. The text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text to 67011, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio. com app now.
I'm not sure if you've been looking, but this Zion fellow is pretty good at basketball.
He's good at
basketball. I don't know if you caught it last night, but 32 sets a new career high. He had a wonderful, wonderful evening. Lost to the Thunder, sure. But man, I know you want him to lose a couple of LBs.
I do.
I get it. Jesus, is he good?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out why the Thunder are good, too.
I don't know. They weren't supposed to be good. I don't know.
And they're good.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know.
Chris Paul's been awesome.
Yes, Chris
and
Paul.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is maybe the best player in the league nobody's heard of. And you know who could have had him in the draft?
Let me guess.
Well,
There's a development issue that doesn't quite mesh, though, isn't there?
Well, I mean, there's that. And I love Wendell Carter, but I mean, sure. Shai's really good.
Sure.
He is.
He's also playing right now. Wendell's not.
And who's it? Does he have a half-brother who's in?
I forget if it's half. Nikhil Alexander Walker of the Pelicans.
Yeah, he's good, too. He's there's things
he
there.
He can shoot. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan's just looking for a new adoptive NBA player after Luke Kornet hasn't really worked out.
Hey. He's getting burned.
He's still
now,
adopting
man.
Him?
He's
still
he's getting some burn.
He is.
He's our Davis Bertans.
Yeah, wind burn from people going by
yes,
him.
Where'd he go? Seriously, where'd like,
again,
go?
You know what I have to do? What I have to do for Luke? I think I've
chiseled the cement
nope,
off his shoes.
I think I'm going to have to award him Doug McDermott's nunchucks. Because remember my rule. My rule for Doug McDermott, it's sort of like, you know, a horse race that you know, to right. even the field to allow Doug McDermott to try to stay in front of somebody. He was allowed to have nunchakus.
Just going to whack somebody on the shins.
Oh, anywhere you want. What? I got to go try to drive around him. You know, he puts the ball on the floor. Oh. What?
God, can you imagine Doc Rivers bitching about those rules? This right. guy's got nunchucks. He can't. He's got an offensive foul right. call that finally looks like one.
This guy's literally using nunchucks.
Come
yeah,
on.
It's written in. He's allowed. He's it's like being able to bring a service dog on the plane. You get special.
Everybody's getting their animals kicked off the plane, and Doug's like, oh no, you get to keep yours.
Or maybe something. Maybe a pool cue. Maybe it doesn't. If Doug McDermott gets the nunchucks, maybe he gets something else. Like he gets a baseball bat with a nail stick. Sticking out of it
all
or
right.
something.
That makes sense
from,
to
like,
me.
Escape from New York.
Sure.
He gets one,
something creative.
He can pick something from the Blue Fly accessory wall, and then he's allowed to use that. The radio.com app.
Yeah, download the app.
Yeah, download it. You can listen to the show. You can watch us. You can see us on these cameras here. Hi, if you're just
Hello.
Joining us. This is the time on Sprockets and V Dunce.
Liebe mein Arschmick, you look ridiculous.
Hey, it's cold out, man. I don't usually wear turtlenecks, but when it's cold out, I got
but
that
But when
walk.
I do.
When I do, it's always something spectacular.
But when I do, it's 30 years old.
What do you mean it's old?
That turtleneck was sold on QVC in 1991.
Oh.
That was like Mike Rowe was pitching you that turtleneck late at night on QVC.
Why does it matter how old it is?
It's because it does. It's a turtleneck.
So it's warm.
All right.
It's fine.
Happy that your neck's warm
right.
today.
Video stream the show. You can listen to the show. You can rewind it with DVR-like controls and interact on Facebook also by liking the 670 The Score page. Zawoski Camp and Diaz are the producers, but let's get to what we heard.
Yeah, so at Cubs Camp, you've got a whole bunch of storylines. Are they going to be better? Is David Ross going to bring them to the promised land? Will Chris Bryant be traded? But over and over again, whether it's through the actions or conversation of Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer over the last couple of seasons, you have heard this theme of internal development. That the guys picked high in the draft need to be better at baseball. That it's time to stop looking at the pedigree of these players and time to start looking at the production that's being given to you by those first-round guys. One of them that severely underachieved last year was center fielder Albert Almora. Now, Almora comes with an interesting part of what's going on here. Because over and over again, you saw from Joe Maddon the reluctance to bat him against both sides, against righties and lefties. You saw a reluctance to really name him a full-time player to the point where Maddon kind of said, nice, he's a platoon-type guy. That's what we see him as. That's how we expect him to contribute to this team. After the season that happened last year, granted, which included a horrifying incident of hitting a foul ball into the stands and injuring a very young girl, Albert Almora had a disastrous second half, one where he did not hit for power. He struck out a lot, and the ground balls were incredibly weak. He talked with reporters yesterday in camp about how he felt. He let himself, and I would imagine his team, down some, given his preparation for most of the second half of the season.
Yeah, I wasn't in a good place mentally. Just the team wasn't going to where it needed to be, and that obviously that sucks. And then my performance wasn't where I wanted it to be as well, so I didn't think the way I was going about the day was the correct way. So in regards to getting prepared for a game, little things like that, you know, it's little things that matter in this game. The outcome, good or bad, if you prepare the right way, you can turn the page a lot easier. And I learned a lot this offseason from, you know, obviously there's no games going on, but how to prepare mentally and physically before games.
That is Albert
Wow.
I listen, two things here. One, and we're going to play a cut of him talking about what happened in Houston and how that did not affect. He feels he did not affect his season. And that matters, I think, in this conversation. But there's two things. You and I, since we started doing the show, have applauded honesty from players. You know, in times where a player could just easily give you the cliche of, can't take your bat to the field with you or your glove to the plate or any of that kind. All those kind of cliches are tossed aside here, and he's taking responsibility for what he didn't do last season. I think that's impressive. I think that comes as a double-edged sword, though, because he let himself, his production, and his preparation down. Those are things you can't afford when you're scratching for wins late in a year where any kind of extra offense added to Nick Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber matters a whole hell of a lot when you're chasing down just a handful of ballgames.
Some context here, too. This is the same team that is a year removed from another material young player speaking similarly of his past season's performance.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting here a year ago, and Kelly Krull had the interview on NBC Sportsnet with Wilson Contreras.
Right.
He talked about his preparation. And now you have Albert Almora saying the same thing, same kind
similar
of
stuff.
Very, very similar
same concept.
This is why Joe Maddon's not here anymore.
It's feeling more and more that way.
That Theo was dropping all kinds of breadcrumbs for you in how he talked about this and how he said it's a, you know, when we prepare as a group and talking about how they're, you know, whether it's a laissez-faire or a hands-on approach to some of these younger players. He led you right to this. He was trying to say it without saying it. I'll also mention it as part of the context. We spend a lot of time looking at Pecota and Zips and Steamer mm-hmm. and all of these projection metrics. And people will say, these things can't know everything. You're damn right they can't.
They cannot.
They can't. And this is one of those things they can't know. And when you start looking for found value, you start looking for spreads that you can arbitrage.
Mm-hmm.
You start looking for things where maybe what don't they see this? They can show evidence of it. They can show evidence of decline. That's all there in the performance. The numbers show the performance.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't give you the why. It doesn't give you the, I was suffering from depression, or my kid was sick, or something else went wrong, or I was in a bad place mentally. And when a player has to tell you that, and he just did.
Yeah, it's impressive to hear him say it out loud. I think there are a lot of players throughout big league ball that would take the layup with a cliche, that would take the, you know, good Lord willing, just want to be here, want to help the ball club. And I applaud Almora for saying what he said. And remember this, too. This is another offseason where very little has happened to change what this ball club looks like. Albert Almora is a first-round pick. He is the first first-round pick of Theo and Jed's tenure. He was lauded as a guy playing on Team USA as a, I think he was 17, playing with a bunch of 19-year-olds, and his leadership was lauded on those teams. Albert Almora was the kid on those Team USA teams that other guys were looking around and going, okay, what do we do, Albert? He was the center fielder on that team. His instincts have always been the kind that leads you to make great plays in the outfield. That all of that matters.
And Theo this is a guy said, too. Remember the comment that Theo made was he's able to make plays at the edges of his range.
Yep.
And even that dropped off last year. How many did we see snow cone out of the webbing last year that never used to?
Sure. Remember, too, you know, we have Joe Sheehan on all the time during the baseball season. We read what he writes. This is a guy in Albert Almora that even Joe Sheehan wouldn't quit on until something like August of last season. And I don't, you know, that's to say nothing of like, you know, you evaluate players and you have guys you like and guys you don't like. But that says something. When you look at the production that was coming out of Almora, and you've still got a smart baseball mind, and probably not the only one, looking at Almora thinking, there's still something in there. Which reflects on what the kind of conversation that you've heard from the front office. Whether it's Schwarber or Almora or Happ or what have you, they feel there's still something in there for a lot of those really high-picked players. Whether that's, you know, Ian Happ having to go back to AAA and work his stuff out, perhaps in an environment that wasn't led by Joe Maddon, that wasn't going to hold him to the same kind of accountability that perhaps a demotion could, whether that's Wilson Contreras a year ago. I think, you know, when Theo talks, when Joe talks rather about a difference of philosophy on Tuesday between himself and Joe, or Theo rather, that the difference in philosophy could probably be summed up with players have to deal with their own stuff. You have to fix your own problems. And it feels like Theo's move toward David Ross, toward more team activities, is not so much players have to deal with their own stuff.
Careful.
But that we are all, yeah, that got close. Yeah. But that we are all, as a group and as a franchise, responsible for making sure that everyone handles their own stuff.
There's a rhyme and a reason to this. That for a group that acts as methodically as the Cubs do, they know something has been building for a while, that something there's been a cultural evolution under Joe Maddon that was really good at the start that is maybe not so good now. And it probably reinforced the winner's trap a little bit. I think a lot of this, I think that was a window into things when Epstein gave us the idea of the winner's trap, of the understanding that because things have gone well, therefore we are doing it correctly. And it's all part and parcel of that. And it, with every day that goes by, there's a little more of an understanding as to why he felt he needed an abrupt leadership change after all of the churn in the coaching staffs.
Let me just get to this too real quick. This is from the 773, and appreciate the text. The Tech Zone, by the way, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online, rosenhyundai.com. You guys cape so hard for Theo. He's been terrible the last few years, drafting, contracts, etc. The farm system a joke. Is that on Joe? Why not criticize him, meaning 3-0? Theo, it's embarrassing. We have taken Theo and blamed him for the issues he needs to be blamed for.
Those issues are obvious.
And I'll tell you, too, when I delineated the two philosophical approaches that seem to be going on here, Joe kind of repping that players need to handle their own stuff, Theo saying, no, we are all responsible for handling everybody's stuff, I don't know that one's right or wrong. You just have to manage the team you've got in front of you. I actually think that players should be held accountable for their own stuff. Show up to the ballpark, do your work, get your hitting in. It should be that a 22, 23, 24-year-old stud prospect can still be held accountable to do his own work. I'm on Joe's side on this. But if Theo looks at the roster that he's got, the guys, the talent that he has to manage and control here, and thinks this is an area where they need help accomplishing a task, then it's on the general manager of the ball club, it's on Theo to get them the help they need to accomplish it.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. At tomorrow night's home game, the first 500 couples to enter Allstate Arena receive a box of Fannie Mae chocolate and a beautiful rose. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. That is some telling sound from a very honest guy in Albert Almora.
There's more from Almora. We'll get to it after the break here, but he talks some about what happened in Houston and his reaction and relationship with that incident, that family a little bit too. And he's brought something brand new to spring training this year as well that may affect his production on the field.
Also, when we come back, we are going to give away the first of three entries into the 2020 Camp One Step Charity Poker Championship. Please only do this if you plan to attend and play.
Oh, that's a big
we
seat.
Want you there. This is a $275 seat. This is a World Series of Poker play-in. It is on February 27th at Galleria Marchetti. If you can play and you want to get in on this, just be ready after this break. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, we'll see.
Albert, do you think the situation in Houston during the year with the kid getting injured had any effect on the way you played beyond that?
No, that's not an excuse. No.
It might not be an excuse, and it might not be something that you want to share, but you guys are human beings.
Yeah.
And sometimes people lose track of baseball players being human. That in itself would impact anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely impacted me, but
I'm not going to sit here and say that was the reason why I didn't perform the way I wanted to.
Stand-up dude right there. And you can pound him, and I think it's probably fair, and he knows it's fair if you're a Cub fan and saying, how dare you, as a first-round pick in the window, a guy who we're relying on to develop, that you're not doing everything you can to develop. Well, that sucks, and boo, and all. He knows that, and he's ready for it when he admits what he just admitted.
Yeah, people could be more than one thing. You know, I think Albert Almora has been, well, he talked about it during the season, deeply affected with what happened in Houston, and vowed, I think it was that day or the next time he talked. I don't think reporters got to him right after that happened, right? I think he got some time to think about it and kind of deal with it, which was the right thing to do. But when he spoke, he talked about wanting to be connected to that family and help that girl through whatever she may need, which, you know, is an admirable thing to do. But two things can be true about a person, right? Many things can be true about a person. And when you hear him talking about his kind of checking out of his own preparation, that's kind of tough to hear, especially in a season where I was just looking through some numbers. I think it was just MLB.com put it out. But if you look at the core five players in the offense the Cubs have had, right? You know the five. I mean, I don't have to tell you there. But their production in terms of base runs and weighted on base and all that kind of stuff, largely been steady throughout the last four or five seasons. But last year, the surrounding offensive pieces created negative 50 runs on the average next to the rest of your lineup, right? Next to the rest of baseball. They were underwater everywhere else in the lineup. And that's not a secret to you. You knew that watching Cubs baseball. You knew second base was a deep, dark place from which light did not escape.
The Bodie regression
And Almora was terrible. Jason Hayward, after looking like he kind of had found some stuff, a little bit more confidence with the stick, did not carry that through late in the season.
Daniel Descalso was a disaster.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeez, was that terrible. I mean, just everything around that core five disappointed in a way that really dragged the team down. And I'm not here to tell you that Albert Almora with a different mental lens and a new focus embraces his future as a first division center fielder. Far from it. I don't love the swing path, and his lack of speed, true speed in center field, worries me just a little bit for his aging curve. But it's really hard for me to look at that guy with that pedigree and go, this is a completely underwater hitter. Pecota projections for this year had him hitting something like 250 and an on base of 297. Yeah. If you get a guy that's an average hitter, if you just get yourself to, he doesn't suck, that is so much better than what he was producing last season. And if he's given opportunities to hit against either side of the plate and can perform just a little bit, you have now shored up a position, like an entire position, where you knew there was nothing you could do this offseason to go find a center fielder. Look at the teams that had to go out and find a center fielder this year. Jared Dyson just got signed. Are you thrilled with that?
Hey, you're going to Japan to find 31-year-old Japanese journeyman.
That's a really difficult position to fill from the outside.
Give me a number.
Four.
Four.
Four!
Four?
One, two, three, four.
Caller four to the contest line, 312-591-6700, wins an entry into the 2020 Charity Poker Championship on February 27th at Galleria Marchetti in Chicago. All proceeds benefit Camp One Step by Children's Oncology Services. Compete for nearly $15,000 in prizes, including the grand prize of a seat at the 2020 World Series of Poker main event in Las Vegas. Visit camponestep.org for details. We're also going to have a little side blackjack thing going on there. We've got, it turns out, some generous people with, I don't know, McAllen.
Oh.
Have decided they're going to be there with things.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and there might be a little bit of that to taste.
Hello.
Hello. And if you just want a spectator ticket, just want to come by and eat and drink.
A Scotch ticket.
Today. Yep. Scotch ticket. That's just a $75 ticket if you just want to get in the room and hang out. But it's going to be a really, really great night. We got two more entries to give away as well.
Couple of things for those of you just kind of tuning in and needing some context here. Almora did not use the incident in Houston as any sort of an excuse. Zero. Whatsoever. You just heard that coming back. He didn't prepare. His own words. He let his preparation, his day of game stuff, go by the wayside a little bit. That's not an excuse. That's what he did. An excuse is something where you're making an apology for something that was in your control. He's not making an apology for something that was in his control. He's telling you what he let down. That says there's a text in that says, come on, he's just using that as an excuse. He sucks at the plate and will say anything to prevent being sent to AAA.
He's doing the opposite of
that's
using
the
it
thing
as an
you
excuse.
Apologize for. Yeah. In fact, the Houston Astros could probably listen to Albert Almora talk about his shortcomings and go, oh, so you say the thing you did wrong. You mention the things you're going to do to make sure you don't do the thing wrong again.
How about this?
And then you change?
And you apologize to the people you may have wronged.
Weird. I don't get it.
And you tell people what you actually feel bad about.
Crazy. I don't understand it. It's a strange concept to me. I'm going to go back and keep making billions of dollars on a franchise that I refuse to acknowledge did anything wrong.
Yeah,
Jim Crane.
Later
Thank
in the
you.
Show, we'll get to the Dallas Keuchel stuff, too,
Holy
because he
God.
Went back and stepped in it again. It's like they go out of their way to keep going back and running over themselves. And you made a point after the show yesterday because somebody said something like, the Astros just don't get it. And you said, no, they don't want to get
it. No, they don't want to get it.
Because they don't think they're supposed to.
No.
They don't think they have to. They don't think they did anything wrong.
No, they don't want to get it. You listen to stuff that Carlos Correa said. You listen to it's just they don't care. They care that they got caught. They care that in some cases that they let it go on as long as they did. Once the rest of the league seemed to kind of catch on to what they were doing. But mostly, they're saying what they're saying and saying it how they're saying it so that it gets acknowledged in a quick news cycle toward the end of the week in a spring training that will undoubtedly have more storylines. And they think that this will just get swept away as you refresh your Twitter feed and it won't come up anymore. And you'll remember somewhat tangentially that somebody said sorry. On the Astros, right? Somebody said that, right? Oh, I'll just go on and enjoy my baseball. It's not going to work like that.
What really pisses me off was how the general manager yesterday, the new general manager, the guy that you are hiring to try to move
James
on. James Click, to try to get away from what is a toxic culture. And this was in Manfred's report. This was very specifically with the Brandon Taubman incident, mm-hmm. which was vile. The cheating is one thing, but what they did to smear Stephanie Apstein, the Sports Illustrated reporter,
gross.
What they did to try to single her out, to try to wreck her reputation based on this oily piece of crap, Brandon Taubman, to cover for him, and all because she was trying to call attention to what Roberto Osuna had done
mm-hmm.
in abusing his wife or girlfriend, I forget which. And that was horrid. That was disgusting. And now you've got people still working in the organization, multiple people, your hitting coach, your high-ranking executives who were part of this, part of creating the cheating scandal, facilitating it,
yeah.
The whole concept of it, and you've already been pilloried in a report because of your culture, and all you're doing is perpetuating the very same culture that is empowering the way they're approaching this currently. It's right in front of you. This is the culture on display. The Astros keep telling us who they are. They keep telling us who they are. This is who they are. They want you to see who they are. They're not hiding it. Current Astros, former Astros, and the very same culture that you thought you didn't change a thing. You didn't change a damn thing.
Major League Baseball, by the way, fine with them being who they are. They're thrilled with them being who they are. And I know that because the punishments were, okay, a draft pick, two draft picks the next 2 years, and $5 million. The maximum amount of money you can find somebody. But that's nothing. What they've done as they've levied the penalties against the Astros is help them sweep as much of this under the rug as you possibly could and not expose what has now been exposed with subsequent reporting by guys like Jeff Passan, guys like Jared Diamond. I'm going to forget another athletic reporter who put some stuff out there. Ken Rosenthal had a lot of it initially, and then I'm just spacing on the one, and I apologize. Evan Drellich, I think, maybe helped co-write that thing. I hate when I forget the names of the guys who broke the news. But all those guys who had each next step of Nikki, it's just a layer of the onion to peel away. And oh, by the way, you know the stuff in the commissioner's report? It's deeper than that. And then somebody goes, oh, it's a level deeper than that. Oh, you thought that was gross. Just wait till you see the
next
spot.
Some of the details. If you want to get a single accounting of the Astros story, if you just feel you maybe need to refresh yourself, Jay Jaffe on FanGraphs just this morning posted a really in-depth piece where he talks about the Wall Street Journal's reporting. He talks about the Athletics reporting. He gives all the proper credit to all the names, but really lays out the timeline for what baseball didn't do, for what baseball has tried to misdirect, mm-hmm. for as much as Rob Manfred did, what he misrepresented. This was not player-driven. It became player-driven. But this started with the quant guys. This started with the computer guys. This started with the brains. Then it got to the players, and then it became Carlos Beltran. Mm-hmm. If you really want to know what the driving force was, and the guys who wouldn't cross Beltran, A.J. Hinch, the reason he busted up those televisions was because he was too cowardly to cross Beltran, who was running that clubhouse.
And I'll be 100% honest with you. I mean, Beltran gets made the driving force of this. But given the way that Major League Baseball has released what they think you should know about this, are you really confident in trusting the way baseball has told you that Beltran was the sole and only driving force here? I'm not.
I'm absolutely not. This segment is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. Make a resolution to lose weight with Nutrisystem for Men, just like Mully from The Morning Show. He lost some weight over the past 3 months. Join today. When you buy your first month of food, you'll get a month absolutely free. Go to Nutrisystem.com/radio to get started.
NBA All-Star Game is in town. We've got a conversation with Rick Fox coming up at 11 o'clock. But yesterday, we had... What, some of the most fun we've had in a couple of months talking hoops? That's for sure.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be good, but he's so effortless. He's so easy. He's so himself. Kenny Smith joined us, and you're going to want to hear this, so keep it here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.